For the past several weeks, I've been organizing my library of digital photos by date. As I go through them, one thing that has struck me is just how grungy birds look in August. When Russ and I brought Katie and Tom to Florida in August 2005, we headed to Lake Kissimmee State Park to see Florida scrub jays. The birds were wonderfully cooperative, coming in for peanuts the moment we entered their area. That didn't surprise me. One member of their family unit always stands watch in promising areas to alert the others when food arrives. This was minutes after a torrential downpour, so I wasn't surprised that they were sopping wet either. But after they dried off in the sunshine and preened to look their best, their feathers still looked almost as bad as when they were soaking. Many of their head feathers were missing, giving them a pin-headed look, and their body feathers were so scraggly that it was hard to believe any of them had ever or would ever again be the strikingly handsome birds I associate with the name scrub jay. Boat-tailed grackles were also a mess. These birds are unpopular because they've become so abundant and noisy in central Florida, but they're strikingly handsome, except in August. They too had a pin-headed, grungy look. Here at home, chickadees are funny-looking right now. Adults are bedraggled from all the work they've done all summer taking care of their babies, and those babies are still growing into their more mature plumage. By fall, they'll be perfect. But right now, not so much. August birds may be far from their peak in terms of plumage, but it's the best time of year to see fledglings. I have my best luck finding young birds when I revert to the strategies I used as a novice. When I started out, not knowing any better, I carefully scanned every branch of every tree, every cattail, and every tuft of grass. But I quickly fell into the same habits other birders have. We probably see more birds per effort expended when we listen and look more broadly, keying in on movements and sounds rather than trying to see every square inch of visible habitat. But we miss some good birds that way, too. That branch-by-branch approach is what garnered me a whippoorwill roosting on a horizontal limb the spring I took my first ornithology class. That was also the last time I ever saw one in daytime, because keying in on movement and sound doesn't help when it comes to a bird that spends its days literally like a bump on a log. I picked out my first least bittern by scrutinizing every cattail, a method that also worked on my first soras and Virginia rails, whose careful, deliberate movements are hard to pick out any other way. Nowadays, a lot of birders use playback, playing bird recordings from iPods or other portable players in hopes that they'll trick a real bird into revealing itself. But I don't do that very much. I get my greatest pleasures from observing each bird's day-to-day activities unobtrusively. It's thrilling when a bird does take notice of me, but I much prefer that when birds do interact with me, it's on their terms, not mine. Right now, it's not hard to find birds by scrutinizing every branch, and it's especially easy when you search through fruit-bearing shrubs and trees. Young robins and waxwings are easy to recognize by their softly spotted breasts. Catbirds often reveal themselves by voice long before you'd actually see one, and they're very vocal in August. Keep an eye out for them, and you'll be rewarded. Some of them may be bedraggled, this being August, but those newly emerging feathers on those newly emerged young birds make this the richest month of the year. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.